Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are always excited to have you here. Ricky and Pam are here. It's the old crew, and we are talking about, well, we got three major things we're talking about today. Ricky just got back last weekend and gives her review of the Boo Bash and compares that to a traditional Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween party. Then Pam talks about her back-to-back cruises that she took with Disney Cruise Line and why right now is a great time to sail with Disney Cruise Line. And then all three of us finally get to talk about our meal that we had on October 2nd over at Epcot. It's Space 220. We talk about atmosphere. We talk about the food. We talk about your expectations when you finally get to dine at Space 220. We just have a good time talking Disney today, and we hope you enjoy the conversation. Don't forget, today's show always brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all of your Disney trip planning needs. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, especially when you shop this holiday season. That one extra click means a lot to us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. We could not do this without you. And our patrons get a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, please visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1985 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rollman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend, because yes, the weekend does start as soon as this podcast hits your feed. That's what I say, and that's what we're going to go with. So late Thursday night, you know what? We just pack in Fridays. You go into work, you go to school. If you're a student, you got to take those tests. You got to give a good effort. But you know, if you, you know, as a teacher, if my kids gave a good effort Friday afternoons, I pulled out a movie. You know, it's kind of how, I don't know if that stuff still works. That's how it used to work when I was teaching. Probably doesn't work anymore, but hey, I'm old school. So, and my kids got good grades and I was always evaluated well. So, hey, that's how the stuff we used to work. And I know your boss is out there, but you just do a good job, get your work done and move on. It's a weekend. So let's have some fun talking Disney and have a good time here. And joining me, the crew, the OG crew again, two shows in a row. You can't beat it. Joining us from down in Georgia, and you catch her hanging out at the mouseforless.com again, dressing up for Boo Bashes all around the world. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
You know what? I am getting ready for the Halloween season, which is, I mean, obviously been here for a while for a lot of people because, you know, pumpkin spice is everywhere. But, you know, we're getting closer here because the weather is starting to turn a little bit. So, you know, it's when it changes from 80 degrees to, you know, 70s and 60s, you start to feel that fall feeling. So this week I've got that fall feeling going, and it's okay.
It's pretty sweet. Okay, we're at 1985 episode today, so I'm pulling out the question. Your favorite, you got to pick one 80s song, your go-to 1980s tune. I know that's from when you were a baby, so you know, it's kind of hard for you.
Okay,
you
I got
have
one.
An 80s song. What is
I
it?
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I think I have to go with Thriller.
That's good. That's especially this time of year, thematic.
Yeah,
I like it,
especially
yes.
This time of year. Yeah. I always bust it out, so I'm gonna go with Thriller. Okay.
That's a solid choice. I mean, any MJ, good choice.
All right.
Okay, all right. I'll take it. All right, also joining us with the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Friday and almost happy Halloween. What's going on?
Happy Friday and happy Halloween. And when you asked Ricky about the 80s song, I was like, oh man.
No, seriously, it's tough.
What am I going to do, right? What am I going to say? But you know what? I think Take On Me. I think that song, right?
Aha, that's a good one. Classic. Aha, yeah.
Yeah, right? So that's my 80s song for sure. But I'm looking forward to talking today about everything that we did, but I'm looking forward to hearing about Ricky's experience from Boo Bash too.
All right.
Especially as we get so close here.
It is. We're here at the Halloween season.
I know.
Remember when it started in August and we're like, oh my gosh, Halloween. Mm-hmm. Now it's here.
Yeah, my song, song, by the way, is going to be "Don't Forget About Me" from Breakfast Club. By the way, but that's just how I'm feeling today.
Excellent choice. Yeah. You mean from Pitch Perfect, right? I'm just teasing him.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, and today again, another Bones Day. Just so you, every day is Bones Day when you get to do a Be Our Guest podcast. So
that's good.
Bones Day.
Also, that's the other song from Pitch Perfect, not "Take on Me." Sorry. My bad.
Whatever. Okay, so got a lot to talk about. All right, so Pam, I guess we're going to start with Ricky at Boo Bash. Okay, so you went down this past weekend. So about 1 week ago as the show comes out.
Yes.
I guess Boo Bash was the goal of this trip, right?
It was the goal of this trip, yes. So I bought tickets when they went on sale, and they sold out immediately. So I was glad to have bought them. Boo Bash, obviously I've done Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party in the past, and I kind of wanted to see how it compared to the Boo Bash.
That was gonna be my number one question, because that's what I've gotten from guests at the Magic for Less, that were kind of like, I've done because Boo Bash is kind of expensive.
It is.
I've been to the Halloween party, and it seems like the Halloween party has more, and I'd like a comparison. So there you go, let's hear it.
So okay, the Boo Bash, I think Disney realized that the Boo Bash was a little light on activities, because when they announced the Christmas party, they literally have thrown everything in the kitchen sink at it. Granted, they added an extra $100 for them to throw everything in the kitchen sink at it, but that's basically what they did. So they took what they learned from this, and I don't know if it was because, you know, when this got announced, COVID was still really, 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 really prevalent, and, you know, people hadn't, not everyone had gotten, you know, vaccines yet and stuff like that. So I don't know if, you know, that was part of it or what. I would have liked for them to have done a little goodwill after the fact, even though they had sold the party out. I would have liked that, you know, once they started like bringing back the fireworks, I would have been like, it would have been nice if they had said, and guess what? You know, we are bringing fireworks back for the Boo Bash.
I agree.
You know?
I thought that was a little strange that they couldn't have done a fireworks show for Boo Bash.
Yeah,
not that they're doing fireworks for the general public.
Or, you know we've been doing cavalcades, but, you know, we'll pull out the full parade for, you know, for this. It made things a little segmented. So I liked how they did. Let's go back. So you can't get in. The other difference is you cannot get in until 7 o'clock. The party doesn't start till 9 o'clock. That's another drawback, I feel like, for these after hour parties, because those 2 hours made a huge difference in what we could accomplish, what we could get done. Even with the lesser number of things to do, I still don't feel like we got to do as much as we had wanted to do. Does that make sense? We took advantage of all of the treat stations, and we saw all the cavalcades, we saw the cadaver dance, but I felt like we were always catching up behind the eight ball, you know, on it. So, and we got lots of popcorn and ice cream. But again, I always felt like we were a little bit behind the eight ball. So, you know, we got there just a little after seven, after having dinner at Whispering Canyon. And as soon as we walked in, I know, great choice, right?
Man, you just don't want to go into that full, but go ahead.
Because
I want to eat all those snacks.
But we needed to eat something too. I
get it.
Brian just got nachos though at Whispering Canyon, which was a good choice.
See, Brian's a smart dude.
Brian was a smart man. Yeah, exactly. So as soon as we walked in, they were getting ready for the fireworks, because the fireworks started at 8. So everybody was already crammed in on Main Street USA. So we decided to take the path, you know, around. And we found a spot that was kind of in that alleyway that's behind, where we could see the fireworks. So we could see Disney Enchantment. We didn't have a full front view, but we could at least see the fireworks, hear the music and things like that. So I did get to see Disney Enchantment that way. It was not crowded where we stood, which was nice. You know, that part was made me feel a lot better, that it wasn't like everybody cramped around me. So that was good. And then as soon as the party started, we immediately went toward Adventureland, because everybody had gone toward Tomorrowland. Right. So we originally went toward Tomorrowland, and we're like, no, let's go back the other way. So we went toward Adventureland. There was nobody in Adventureland. So that was handy. So we toured around that way around the park. Like I said, the actual cavalcades, they did them like segmented. So they would do one cavalcade. The best cavalcade out of all of them, I feel like, as far as bang for your buck, you know, getting the most out of your time that you spend, was the Mickey one, because that had, you know, the Mickey and Minnie in it, but it also had characters that were in Boo to You before. So it had the Greg Biggers, nice. And it had, you know, like if now they didn't weren't like dragging, you know, anything Boo. With them. I know Boo, exactly.
that's the best part, the spark.
Yeah, I know. And they had some other like characters that were, you know, in the parade. So I feel like that was probably like the best one that they had.
Tell me they didn't have that cow singing.
They did not. You're good.
Good. Okay. That's an you know what? That's an improvement to the party right there. I paid $10.
It's definitely
extra.
An improvement. Yes. And then they had like, you waited about 10 minutes or so, and then they brought out the next cavalcade. So that one was the Disney Villains one. And then that passed, and then you waited another 10 minutes, and then that was the Nightmare Before Christmas cavalcade, and then you waited another 10, and that went by really fast, you know, and then there was another cavalcade, and 10 minutes later, and that was the Maleficent one. So, like, you're spending a good chunk of time just waiting for the cavalcades that last, you know, once they get to you, you know, they last a whole, like, minute, you know, 2 minutes or something like that. So, like, I feel like there was a lot of time waiting for that, you know, and with the parade, yes, it's longer, but it's, like, you know, it happens in a 10-minute span or so, 15-minute span. So, I feel like time-wise, it was way too stretched out for the cavalcades.
Do you think Disney's goal, though, was to have people stay for like all of them, or was it in segments because you were just supposed to catch out one and go?
I think originally you were supposed to do it that
but
way.
Everybody
but
was like wanting to see all of them, so
everybody was
staying.
Wanting to see all of them, so they just stayed there. And when you schedule them 10 minutes apart from each other,
it's like we're already here kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And we hung out in Frontierland to see the cavalcades because we were able to catch the Cadaver Dance, which were also performing right there too. So like it all happened in. And that was the best spot for it because like it literally all was happening in, you know, an hour time span, but that took up a whole hour, you know, just waiting. It was like start, stop, you know? So I didn't love that aspect of it. And I know I waited a long time for the parade before, but just that the time length that it took to do all the cavalcades, I thought was way too long. So, you know, I'm glad they're bringing back the parade for the After Hours Christmas event because I think that's a much better idea.
Right. To just I mean, show it's progression. It's progression. Yeah. You know, we're going from no parades to parades. And that's kind of you got to go from here to there. Yep. Good.
Exactly. So we definitely stocked up on popcorn. I may or may not have brought plastic bags with me to put popcorn.
I'm sure you did.
I saw
your Cape May cinnamon roll in your purse. So, yes.
I also did that. And then Daisy found the cinnamon roll when I got home. Oh, so nice. She may have eaten some of it. But, Anyway, so I definitely got lots of popcorn. We got, you know, lots of bottled waters to take with us.
She went
my book bag.
Pam,
I brought a book bag.
Pam, she went to the grocery store, basically. Instead of going
I did.
To the
I went to the grocery store.
I'm like,
this is making me nervous. I know, seriously.
I brought a book bag. I threw that stuff all in the book bag. And then I did not take home ice cream bars. I figured that might get a little messy. But
probably.
You know,
yes, yeah, so it's a good idea.
As far as ride wait times, you know, most of them were pretty decent, you know, 5 minutes or so. The long ones were, of course, the Haunted Mansion, which was about 35 minutes. And I believe Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which was probably close to the same amount of time. And again, if you waited in those two lines, you've spent a good amount of time at the Boo Bash waiting in those lines because those were long the whole time. They did have, like, the Madame Renata was out in front of the Haunted Mansion, though. So it was nice to see, like, that kind of character out there, you know, improvising with guests. They said they were supposed to have a dance party in Tomorrowland, but that was not happening. They said that was supposed to happen all night. There was no dance party. That was in the Times Guide or the map, and there was nothing there. So I was a little surprised about that. And then as far as the trick-or-treat stations... they were good. They were pretty plentiful. I don't feel like they're giving out as much candy this year, though. I feel
really?
Like, especially...
I thought you had
a ton. I know. I came home. My bag was... Like, I had the regular, you know, the Disney bag, you know, that they give you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't full at all. And we
really?
Went to all. And we went to all the treat stations.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, even at the end of the night, like, that was the last thing we did was we were booking it to hit the two treat stations that we didn't get to. And, you know, you'd think, oh, it's the end of the night. They'll just load me up. No, they just gave you one handful and that was it. Like, I was like, really? Huh. You're not even going to like load me up here? You're just going to just give me the one handful and that be that?
It's because they knew you were smuggling bottled water. They had you
bottled. Yeah, exactly. I know, right? Yeah. So, So that was interesting. I was very surprised with that. And then another big surprise, overall, I did have a good time at the event. I dressed up as Cruella de Vil. I had a fantastic time. So many people were like, oh my gosh, it's Cruella, you know, so that was really cool. I didn't see as many people dressed up in like elaborate costumes either this year. I feel like, you know, there were a lot of Disney bounding, but I didn't see like, you know, at Mickey's Not So Scary, I saw, you know, we'd see lots of elaborate costumes. I didn't feel like I saw a lot of those either. But I had a good time. I think though, I would rather do Mickey's Not So Scary overall. If they brought back the Boo Bash next year, I don't know if I would do it. I think Brian and I had talked about it. We would do it like an every other year thing or something like that at that point. Because we really do like Mickey's Not So Scary. I would absolutely bump the time up. I would give guests at least another hour for that event, because just the 3 hours that we had, they were simply not enough. And the other thing that really surprised me was the fact that at the end of the night, they were done. Like when it hit midnight, everything was closed, which I feel like in the past when I've gone to Mickey's Not So Scary, the shops I feel like have been open. They definitely have PhotoPass photographers out. There were no PhotoPass photographers. They actually were shutting, they shut off the line, and I tried to get in line at the end of the night and they're like, no, line's closed. So I was surprised about that as well. Those are a few things that I kind of noticed from the Boo Bash. It was a good event. I had a good time. It was just very, in a way, very different than, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And I think that they are absolutely rectifying those things with the Christmas party, except for the time thing. Given how much trouble I had with time at this event, you know, time length of everything, I think the Christmas party is going to go by even faster. So make sure you have a plan for the Christmas party, right, if you're going. And by plan, I mean, decide what is very, very important to you, the most important to you, and go from there. So if the rides and going on those at a lower wait time are the important thing, then make sure you hit those up. If it's seeing all the Christmas stuff and that's the whole point of going, make sure you do that first thing and that's your plan. If it's getting all the treats that you want and all the popcorn and all that, make sure that's your plan. But like, go in and know, like, okay, this is the plan. And really, I would pick one or two. I wouldn't try to cram it all in, because you're not going to have enough time to do everything at that party. I can guarantee it.
So. Well, my advice too for folks going to the Christmas party is that if you are going to the Christmas party, you know, skip all the attractions that night.
Yes.
Just do the Christmas stuff. And then if you are lucky enough to have a second day at the Magic Kingdom, have Genie Plus in your back pocket, and you can get so many attractions done at that point, you know, with lower wait times. And just because, I mean, something's got to give. I mean, because you're right. I mean, even when you went to Mickey's Not So Scary or Mickey's Very Merry, when you had like a 6 hour, five, I think it was like a 5 hour window, like 7 to midnight, yeah, or whatever it was,
yeah,
that time was like, boom, it was like light speed.
It went by fast too.
3 hours, but this would be just like a blink.
This went by even faster. So I would like to see them, if they keep up with the after hours events for the holidays, I would like to see them add at least an extra hour to it, because it just went by way, way too fast.
And you know that labor's got to be playing into that. I mean, I hate to, you know, give Disney an out, but I mean, everything right now is labor. I mean,
but they closed the, I mean, I get that. I don't know if it's they're trying to make it fit more fair for a day guest, because, you know, they did get kicked out at 7 o'clock before, you know, so they're kind of stumped too. So that's what I'm saying. Like, even if they had the close at 8 o'clock, I still feel like adding that extra hour would be a big help, you know, yeah, like that way they can have a happy medium for both sides. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So both sides get something out of it.
I mean, they were trying to come up with a, you know, way to have this party. And
yeah. And Aaron, if you want to see pictures of me dressed as Cruella, they are on the podcast Instagram as well as my own Instagram. So there are pictures.
Cool. So no Boo to you, but Boo Bash.
No.
2021,
yes.
And hopefully Mickey's, yes, Not So Scary will be back next year. So
hopefully,
it sounds like,
yes,
sounds like that is the superior product, which, I mean, it is, because it's the thing that's been tweaked for a decade, right? This was,
yeah,
something that,
or longer.
Yeah, longer. Yeah. But I mean, it's a more refined product that people,
yes,
know what to expect. And it's, yes, got more to it. I mean, let's face it, it's got Halloween, you know, back in the day, Hallowishes and
Ryu.
Right, I mean, those are beloved things. Those are probably some of the two most beloved things. And of course, the Hallowishes got changed.
Yes.
We forget about all that stuff before COVID, but it was some other show. But yeah, we'll hope it comes back. That'd be cool if they brought back Hallowishes. I mean, just come on.
Yeah, they won't do that. But I have seen the other show, because I saw it before the year that they released it, which was the year before COVID. And that show's
Minnie's
cute.
It's Minnie's something or other.
It's Minnie's, yeah.
Minnie's Happy Halloween.
Is,
Okay. Yeah, something like that. Let me throw it over to Pam because I've been talking sea breezes and portholes.
Yes.
Verandas. And Pam just did a little thing called a back-to-back cruise with Disney Cruise Line. And I got to go out to sea. So I want to hear about Pam's cruise. So Pam, talk to us about that a little bit.
I did. So I was fortunate enough to do two Disney cruises back-to-back cruising because the cruises out of Port Canaveral right now are shorter. To try to comply with all those restrictions and things like that. So, and I also wanted to see how they were handling sort of the back-to-back thing, because it's a great option if you're looking for a longer cruise, right? Just do back-to-back cruising. You know that Mike went on the cruise recently, and we've talked about some of the things that they have in place for you prior to the cruise. But I will say, leading up to this, I thought it was going to be a lot more rigmarole than it actually was. What I will tell you is, if you're preparing to go on a cruise, the things that you're going to want to have ready to do during your online check-in process is to, of course, have your ID available to scan and upload, have your vaccination cards available to scan and upload, and you'll do that as part of the process. The actual testing that's done at the port for guests is pretty much a non-issue. It is easy as can be. The way that you get your results back really quickly, and you're on the ship like you were before. The one thing I will caution about is, for cruising, they are being very strict with your port arrival times, and that's for a number of different reasons. They don't want everyone showing up at the same time, because that makes for a situation that they just can't handle. They can't get people, you know, they can't deal with that number of people all at once. They scatter them throughout that time. But everyone is getting on the ship fairly early. So it was a really, really simple process. Disney Cruise Line did a great job. Throughout everything, we felt very, you know, we felt like they were observing all the protocols they had in place. Everyone was complying with it. But the thing I was most relieved about is how normal it felt.
Rip.
How yep. normal it felt to be there. How I enjoyed the things I always had. How it felt like cruising again, and it felt like one of the more normal things that I've done in the past 18 months or so. And Mike, you probably felt the same way. It just felt good.
I totally did. And it was the thing that I noticed, and it's very similar to when we went down to Walt Disney World in the like late summer of 2020, when the parks had reopened and people were kind of starting to get that, you know, like, we're back and it felt great. And the thing that I noticed was that, especially the folks on Cruise Line, even more than when I was at World, was that they were so excited to be back on their ships doing their jobs and to have guests to serve that. I mean, I've always said that my favorite Disney vacation is a Disney cruise. I love going to Walt Disney World. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love running the races. I love the places at Walt Disney World, the people. But I mean, a Disney cruise, you go to different places every morning. You wake up somewhere that's tropical. You know, like, you're doing crazy stuff in the clubs and the restaurants. It's just wild. It's fun. And the service is unmatched on a Disney cruise. And the thing is they find these cast members, these servers in the restaurants, these bartenders, these you know, folks that are, you know, stateroom attendants, they're just so excited to be back and doing their thing. And, you know, it was great before, but I mean, in August when I was on the ship, I mean, it was over the top, and I was excited for them, and it made me excited to be back on those ships. It felt so good.
Yeah, I know. That's really how I felt too. In some ways, this was one of the best cruises I've ever taken. And, you know, some of that has to do with the reduced capacity and the number of guests that are there. Some of that is absolutely due to the fact that Castaway Cay is like, you have it to yourself.
I know that it is. I mean, we talk about Castaway Cay in the previous times being like a paradise, right? But I mean, Castaway Cay with like 25% occupancy, I mean, honestly, right? It is unbelievable. Like, it is so crazy awesome like that. We were so spoiled this time. It was crazy.
It's true.
I kept telling Paige and Valerie, like, this is nuts. This is crazy.
It's true. It's such an opportunity. So if you've been thinking about the Disney cruise experience and whether you want to take that on at this point in time, and you're saying, should I book something for now? Should I book something for next year? I would just absolutely encourage you to do it, because it was absolutely one of the best cruises that we've ever been on. I felt like the food was better. And it's many of the same dishes, right, that we're all familiar with, having been on the cruise so many times. But just the way that they were prepared. Maybe it has to do with the fact that they don't have to prepare as many. I don't know. But we had great dining experiences. We had a great experience at Palo. We had great experiences on Castaway Cay. They have changed the menu just a bit as to what they're serving at Castaway Cay. They didn't have all, you know, some of the things they had before. They had some new things. But again, just overall, such a great experience. And for those of you who snorkel, they have added some brand new things in the Snorkel Lagoon. Lots of cool things to find. Like, and I don't want to give it away because it's just fun to happen upon them. So make sure if you like to snorkel, you either bring your snorkel equipment, which you can do with Disney Cruise Line, or you make plans to rent them. It really is awesome.
It was, I mean, you're right. I mean, this is one of those things. This window is going to close up, I would assume, pretty quickly to where it's going to get back to 100% capacity on the ships. And they're still awesome at 100% capacity. I mean,
right.
You know, we sail on them all the time. And we've had, I mean, you've seen the pictures from the podcast cruises and from other cruises we've done. I mean, we have a blast when those ships are 100% sold out. It does not affect it. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things. You almost feel like a VIP when you're on a 25 or 35 or 45% sailing. It's just,
yes.
It's incredible. Because, like, even at dinner, like, we were sitting at our own table. But it wasn't, because I'm a person, I know that people have two philosophies. I talk with my guests about this a lot, you know, whether you want communal dining and to sit with people from other, you know, parties at your table. Because I like that, because I just like to talk to people. And I think it's kind of fun to talk to people from other parts of the world. Like, you know, where are you from? And just get to know them throughout the cruise. Some people just like sit with their families because, you know, they're more introverts. And I totally get that, too. But, like, you know, I was striking up conversations with folks at, like, the next table, because, you know, there was a nice lady that she was actually a travel agent at the next table. She was traveling solo on this cruise. And, you know, we were close enough that we could carry on a conversation. We were at different tables, but we were just next to each other. And it was, you know, it was interesting. You know, we were in Animator's Palette. The whole show went on. And the thing was, you know, in this time period in Animator's Palette, man, I mean, like, I was having a whole full on conversation with Crush, like. I mean, I was getting interviewed, like, you know, like Dan Rather was like, you know, I was like, I felt like I was like on 2020 or something, you know, it was like, went on for 20 minutes. I was like, okay, now I'm moving out of here because it was crazy. You know, you're getting time, and you probably saw this, Pam, like the characters on the ships. I mean, like Chip and Dale, they almost cried when I left, like, cause there's nobody else to meet them. Like, I mean, you weren't like jockeying to meet the characters. Like, it was like, hey, can you hang out a little bit more, Mike? There's nobody else here. It was so weird.
It was all the time.
Totally. It was crazy.
And there were characters that you don't typically see.
Yeah, Frozone was out all the time. I was like, Frozone.
It was amazing, really and truly. And the other thing I wanted to say is my takeaway was, this is a Halloween on the High Seas cruise, and you can find them, you know, in the fall at different times. This is a great time to cruise because they have extra, you know, special things going on. It's really a great time to cruise. But other things that Disney does is they have these specialty kind of cruises. They have holiday cruises. They have Marvel cruises. They have all these different kinds of cruises. And consider taking one of them, because Disney really goes out of their way to make sure that you're sort of enveloped by that theme. There's special events, all kinds of things going on during that time, too.
And, you know, here's kind of a last thing, and then we're going to go on. We're going to talk about Space 220 because we all ate there, and we've been waiting to talk about this meal. This is the most waited on meal to talk about in the history of podcasting, I think.
Right.
Because we wanted to all be together on this one. I will say, though, and this is something that's a weird situation right now, is that I have priced out vacations for folks at Walt Disney World for like a 5-night stay. And we've been able to get cruises for that same time period for less than a Walt Disney World stay, sometimes at like a deluxe resort or even a moderate resort. They're coming in close. So I'm just saying, if you've ever been on the fence about taking your first cruise, you know, in the next, say, like 4 or 5 months, you know, maybe this winter or, may, you know, early spring, cruising is coming in close to Walt Disney World for about the same amount of nights. So I'm just saying,
warning,
you might want to think
though,
about
you'll
it.
Be spoiled. I know. Be careful.
Be careful what you do. I'm saying,
it's a slippery slope. Exactly. Yeah. So it was a great opportunity. I'm so glad I got to experience it. And so many of our team members have too, just so we can make sure that we help our guests make the best choices. But there was really, I loved everything about it. And I feel like it was just such a special opportunity, because this is a special point in time. So
it is. And it was a special point in time when Space 220 actually became a reality and we could.
Right.
I know. This was so awesome. So Ricky, I know that you took one for the team. This was your second time there when I
got
to
know. I know.
So you don't have to tell us that. I know you're an old hat at this, but
I am. Yeah.
So we got to go to Space 220. We had a dinner reservation, and we went there over the 50th. I think we went on October 2nd, as I recall.
Yes. We did. Yes. Yeah.
So you go over to Mission Space, and it's kind of hidden off to the side there where you check in with the hostess or the host, and they take you kind of in a, it's a weird entrance to me. Like you kind of go like behind a wall and
yes,
they kind of
feels, you know, backstagey.
It does feel backstagey.
They kind of like, you got to almost like do a secret handshake or something. And then you right? like gain access to the restaurant or something, you know, cause you got to get up the elevator. So anyway, you know, I don't want to spoil too much because, again, everything's a new experience and we were lucky to get to do it. And I don't want to ruin your experience. Just want to kind of talk about overall in generalities about what we did. So we're not going to spoil, you know, things too hard, but you've probably seen and heard, you know, we went into the restaurant and you kind of go into a lobby area where you wait for your party and you do board an elevator. And this is actually something that
Stellavator.
A Stellavator. Okay. I just want to say though, because again, I'm a sci-fi geek and you know, I do like space science and stuff. And a space elevator has been talked about as a legit way to get into space. This is something that scientists have discussed. I mean, it's not something that's totally fiction. They have talked about space elevators in the past, how to make it work. So this is not something that's totally
crazy.
Apparently
they built one at Epcot.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. It's there. Yeah, right? I know. It's weird that you can't see it when you're outside. But anyway, totally crazy. It's go away blue or whatever that color
it's
is.
Painted that, yeah,
the color Guardians of Galaxy building. It's awesome. You can't even see it. So you get in the elevator, whoosh, they shoot you up 220 miles and boom, you're on the space station. So you come out, it's cool. There's lettuce and stuff, hydroponics going in a gravity wheel. It's awesome. Then you get in the restaurant. You can look down at the curvature of the earth. Now, we've given a few tips as far as going in. My biggest tip, and we'll talk about the food, but my biggest tip upon going in, I don't know if you have any say on where you sit. You probably don't. But if you were to have, any say in where you sit, we sat in a great spot because it was in the back of the restaurant where there's booths along the opposite wall of the, you know, the windows where you look out over Earth. And this allows you to look out over the entire restaurant and all the windows. Yep. Now, one of our agents who was there dining with us, Steve Baker, he made a great point that if you have a table that's up against the windows, you might think, you know, because like when I'm on an airplane, I have to fly in the window seat, right? I got to know where we're going. Now, I'm not flying the plane. It doesn't matter what I see, right? I mean, I don't have a yoke. This is going to affect anything, but it's like, I got to know where I'm going. So I got to sit in a window seat. So that's kind of my thing. But you would think maybe it's Space 220. I need to sit at the window so I can see like what's happening. But the problem is if you have a window seat, while that's great because you're right up on that one window, you're not seeing like the 10 windows. Like you're not seeing the panorama of the entire view. So I say if you get the opportunity, sit back as far as you can in the restaurant. You'll kind of see the more overview of the entire experience. So that was kind of the first tip, I would say. So, Pam, walk us through your initial thoughts coming into the restaurant, tips, stuff like that.
So there's part of this experience that really felt like old Epcot to me, right? Because it sort of was edutainment in that space. It was sort of a little bit of education, a little bit of learning, you know, hidden behind this whole entertainment thing. And I really liked that. The cast members there seem very passionate about it. You know, they want to communicate this experience to you. They know this is a hard ticket to get at this point, right? Finding a spot to dine here is really challenging. But I think it's probably the kind of place there's not a bad seat in the house. It's just a matter of what's a priority to you. I would just go into it with an open mind, though, and sit where you sit. They may have, you know, something that you haven't thought of, right? When you're sitting close or sitting far away. We were happy with our seats, and sort of it started at that point. You know, we looked through the menu. For those that don't know, it is a prefix menu. So you're going to get at lunch an appetizer and entree, and at dinner an appetizer, entree, and dessert. And there's a difference in price for that. In addition to that, there's some really cool drinks, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, and they're fantastic sounding. Some of them are really super creative in the way that they're made and brought out. And I think those are worth considering as well, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. So my drink that I had was, it was based, I can't remember the name of it, but it was Tang with some,
yes.
I think it had like some other juices in there, but it also had astronaut ice cream in it. So, I mean, I'm Mike Rallman. I worked at space camp. I taught space science forever. I mean, if there's a drink that has Tang and astronaut ice cream in it, I mean,
Mike Rallman's getting it.
Seriously, it's called the Rallman. I mean, I had to get it. So, I mean, it was just a novelty, right? It was just a bunch of junk in there, but it was good. I mean, it was a little fruity drink and it was fun. So I got that and it was a good little drink. And Pam, I think you were looking for something that wasn't sweet. I think that's what you were kind of curious.
I was, because I don't really like sweet drinks. So I wanted her to give me the least sweet one. There was one that was very interesting to me that I thought about getting, but it had like, it was poured over cotton candy.
Yeah,
so
I was like, that's probably sweet. Yeah, I think it, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably going to be sweet. So anyways, I ended up having what was more like a traditional Cosmo, but they put their own twist on it because there were these little, these little pieces of orange peel that were of course cut into a star. And that was kind of a cool thing. I mean, just, they're really themed throughout the whole thing. So.
And Ricky, you had a non-alcoholic like white drink. What was that?
It was the Milky Way. It was a very coffee sweet drink. I believe it had caramel and there was some other syrup I think in there as well, but it was as a coffee drinker, it was exceptionally sweet. I do tend to like a little not as sweet coffees. So yeah, I was like, whoa. But I like the novelty. So when I dined there the first time, they actually did clip a Milky Way to the drink as well. So they didn't the second time, but it was kind of cool the first time that they did.
Wait, they clipped a Milky Way candy bar or what?
Yeah, a nice. Candy bar. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing they probably ran out of Milky Ways from the time that I was there the first time to the second time. But yeah, it was still really cool.
So I do want to throw in another tip for this restaurant. A couple things that we noticed throughout the meal. Also, shout out to Ricky. She gave me the best seat because at first I had my back to the whole thing. But she's like, I've been here before. I'll let you get the good seat. So she didn't give me the good seat.
Look, don't ever say that I am mean to pay. I totally was like, I have been here before as much as I would like to see everything, because you know I really did. I was not selfish and I gave up my seat to you, so you're very welcome.
And I got to sit next to Steve and I got to cut up about all kinds of stuff, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So a couple things. Okay, so obviously this is like it's dinner in a show, right? I mean, this is like a hoop-de-doo review, or this is like, if you're not a Disney fan, it's like a you know, like if you go to, I don't even know what that's called, like where you go and they have like the knights and stuff and you eat the turkey legs.
Like the medieval times.
Or like the Dolly Parton thing with like the cowboys and stuff in the middle. Yeah, it's like something like that. Like, are you, because, you know, the question I kept getting asked when I got home, like, are you going to do this every trip? Probably not, you know, because the thing is, it's expensive. But it is something that I would take people that go that have never been. I would want them to see this. It's more than a meal. It is an experience. Like you go in there and your jaw kind of drops on the elevator when you get up to the restaurant. I mean, there's a lot of kind of jaw dropping moments, and the food was really, really good too. I mean, overall, it's a great package. But I mean, I don't eat Signature every time I go either. You know, I'm the kind of guy that's fine at Pecos Bills or Casey's or, you know, what have you. I'm totally fine with that. But it was worth it because it was not just me a meal. It was dinner and a show. It was like a hoop-de-doo kind of thing. So, and like, I like the, you know, back in the day, I used to love the luau at the Polynesian. I would do that, but I wouldn't do it every trip. I do it like once every couple of years, every 3 years. Kind of exactly the same thing for me. So that was that. What about, Pam, walk us through, we don't have to talk about everything we ate, but the food quality, because you're a foodie. So, you know, what'd you think about that? I had the big thing of cheese. That was awesome. I didn't know what it was, but it was good.
I know, right?
I was like, I don't know what anything is, but the cheese thing
Mike
was good.
Mike found out that it was a ball of cheese. Dude, and he's like, I'm thing, sold. Let's
that
go.
Thing. I came home and told my wife, Pam, I was like, this thing is cheese. That's not an
it's
egg.
The
that is cheese.
That
yeah.
You
oh, yes, so good.
Yes. And it was so good. Yeah, you did. And yeah, we tried a few of the different appetizers there. There was some fried cauliflower that was served with a hot sauce and had a blue cheese dust. That was really good too. I know some had some calamari. I have this tuna tartare. It was good too. But they have things that would, you know, sort of appeal to most people, I think, too. The, like the thing that Mike got, the Big Bang Burrata. I mean, that was good. And it was served with artichoke hearts and arugula and sunflower. Really tasty. For the main course, too, they have a number of different things. They have a short rib, a chicken, a pasta with a bolognese sauce, a filet, a red snapper, duck, and salmon. So I think that there's some kind of choice there that everyone is going to like. We had the filet and the duck and the short rib, I think, were ordered by folks at our table. And I think we all really liked that. The desserts, too, at dinner, they're included. And you're going to be able to choose things like a carrot cake, a cheesecake, a mousse, a sticky toffee pudding, and a gelato. Now, as I'm reading these, some of these things kind of sort of sound like regular food, right? But I will tell you, every one of these entrees and appetizers and desserts was sort of made with this, keeping this theme in mind. Yeah. It had some way of preparing and presenting to you that was not typical or usual, right? It just, they did a good job carrying that theme through. And everything we had was good. So I was really glad we had the chance to experience it.
It was so good. It was. Here's another couple things, too. I keep thinking this meal was really unique. I mean, it was very unique because it was a new, totally new restaurant, a whole new experience, really. A couple things. One is it's dark in there because it's obviously, I mean, it, you know, like you're looking out and it's, you know, you see the sunrise and the sunset, like the orbital sunrise, the orbital sunset. It's a very cool effect. It's very cool looking, but it's dark and it's very chill. It's like eating in coral reef. If you've ever eaten in coral reef, it is a very similar vibe. And apparently in space, there's like white noise. It's kind of this like low hum that's like, and the meal there takes a long time, which, I mean, that's cool because you're there for the experience. You don't want to be rushed in, rushed out. But I'm just telling you, man, I think it was because the food was so rich. I had that pound and a half of cheese for an appetizer. Then I had a filet. Then I had like chocolate cheesecake and I had a drink to start. I was about to fall asleep by the end of that meal. I was so chill. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like that between the white noise machine and I'm in space and there's no gravity up here. I'm just telling you, man, you got to be ready. And it was like late at night. I usually eat at 4 o'clock. This was like 7:30. I was like, get me a bed, get me a space bed, a sleeping bag or something. Cause I am so tired. Like it wore me out. Cause it's so chill up there, but it does have kind of that same vibe of a coral reef. Some people were like, is it like coral reef? I get that coral reef connection. I mean, it's updated, but it's, you know, no wall carpet, but it's coral reef.
No wall carpet, but it's, yeah, it is. You're right. It's like relaxing. You have something you can focus on. You can sort of zone out and it sort of lends itself to that, right? That you're just like there and really relaxing. Like, I think, like, if you're there in the middle of summer, this is would be a place I'm planning lunch.
Yes,
right.
Because
I just want to escape the heat of the parks and sit in space 220.
Yeah, it's like you plug your phone in, like recharge, you know, into your brick. Like this is the human brick. Like you just walk in there and you're like, you know, you're like at 17% and you just see like you're 83%. You just have lunch.
Exactly.
You're back in. All right, Ricky, well, we're just about out of time. So final thoughts on Space 220. You've been twice. So tips, thoughts, close it out for us here.
I have been twice. And, you know, I really love Space 220. I dare say, think it may be my favorite restaurant at Epcot for sure. Maybe Walt Disney World right now at this point. I think it was a fantastic addition. I do think I maybe like lunch just a smidgen better. But you know, you can add dessert on at lunch too. It ends up basically costing about the same. I felt like my, I got steak, at lunch and I felt like that was a little bit better at, cause it wasn't a filet. There was a filet at dinner, but it was a different cut of steak at lunch. I enjoyed that cut of steak just a little bit better. Who would have thought that I'd enjoyed that better than a filet, but, you know, it was very good. So I do think that I, like Pam, would probably choose a lunch option, not for the fact of like it's cheaper, because I would probably end up spending the same amount of money, because you can bet I'm getting that sticky toffee pudding. I mean, for dessert, that is so good.
I still can't stop thinking about the 15 layer cake at the steak.
I know you got that. So, but I really, really like this restaurant. I think they did a fantastic job. And yes, I can officially say it exists. I've been to space twice now. So yeah, that part's nice. And Christopher's asking in the chat, what's the deal with a lounge, physical line or virtual? As far as what I can understand, it is a physical line, that you have to get into. And you have to wait until, you know, they're ready to seat you. So just keep that in mind. If you can't get a reservation for this restaurant, they do have the ability to dine in the lounge. So you'll get to see. I mean, the lounge is right there. I mean, you get to have the full experience.
I was really surprised to see, like, that lounge is dead in the middle of the restaurant. Like, it's not off to the side like at Steakhouse 71. Like, it is boom. I mean, you get the whole thing right there at the lounge.
It is right there, yeah. And it's, I think, a lot larger than I thought it would be as well. So, just keep that in mind, that if you can't get a reservation, the lounge is available. You just may have to wait a little while. They are not taking names right now, and having you come back, or, you know, texting you, you know, that your table is ready or whatever. Like, you have to wait in line. So just keep that in mind. But if you can't get that reservation, it might very well be worth it for you. It just depends on how much you really want to dine there. Oh, and the lounge is a la carte, not prefixed. So just keep that in mind too.
The lounge line is physical, like Olivia Newton-John.
Oh my gosh.
Now that song will be stuck in your head all weekend.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, and that's going to do it for today's show. So now that's going to be burned into your brain all day long. You're welcome. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to get you to space, or at least space 220 down at Epcot. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools to get started. One of the things I recommend is that resort guide. Lots of great stuff there to see. Hey, man, what do those rooms look like at Pop Century? How many pools do they have? What's the approximate square footage on a Pop Century room? It's all there. Check it out. Riverside? How great is it to have Riverside back? Yes! French Quarter. We'll see you here soon. I think next week. So, yeah, we are getting back. Sports, we're waiting on you, buddy. I love sports. I need my football helmets back. We're counting on you, buddy. We need you. But, yeah, everybody else, we are almost back. So yeah, check it out. Drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out that quote form. Some dates, resorts, as much information as you have. We'll get back with you right away. Tell you what's available, at what price. We can kind of refine things as we go until we get you that perfect Disney vacation set up. And we're going to help you navigate all these waters. They're changing, but we're there to help you out with all these things. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That one extra click means a lot to us. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put out these podcasts 3 to 4 times every week. And our patrons get a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to get in on that, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Follow Ricky at Ricky Nibs, Instagram and Twitter. Follow Pam at TMFLT Pam. Also at the Magic for Less Travel on Instagram. And I'm at Be Our Guest Mike. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter as well. And again, if you have a few minutes this week, leave us a rating and review on your podcast application. We'd sure appreciate that. And again, this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, give us a call. It's the BOGP Open Line. We'll be talking Disney with you. All right, it's time to get out of here. Until we get back together again on Monday, you guys have a great weekend. So for Pam and Ricky, stay safe. Stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.